Welcome back to The Deep Dive, the show engineered to cut through the overwhelming noise and provide you with the truly essential insights you need to be genuinely well-informed. Today, we're diving headfirst into something that often feels like abstract financial data, but has profound real-world consequences, the underlying shifts in fundamental industries that drive market volatility. When you see a stock price take a dramatic swing, whether up or down, it's rarely just about ephemeral sentiment. More often, it's a direct reflection of significant structural changes brewing within the industry that company operates in. And that's precisely what we're going to unpack today. Our focus is Molina Healthcare Inc., ticker symbol MOH, a company that finds itself at the very epicenter of considerable turbulence within the vital government-sponsored healthcare sector. Okay, let's unpack this.
Absolutely. What's truly fascinating about Molina Healthcare's current situation is that it transcends the story of just one company grappling with, you know, a rough patch. It serves as a compelling real-time case study, offering us a deep lens into how powerful macroeconomic forces, sweeping regulatory changes, and the ever-evolving needs of patients are collectively conspiring. Well, to create what can only be described as a fundamental paradigm shift for an entire sector. By understanding Molina's specific challenges and strategic responses, we gain invaluable insight into the broader landscape of how healthcare is evolving in America right now, particularly for the most vulnerable populations.
Right. And our mission for this deep dive is crystal clear. We're going to meticulously extract the most important nuggets of knowledge from the investment analysis we've received, helping you, our listener, understand the core conflict that defines Molina's current predicament. It's a truly fascinating juxtaposition of Molina's long-term strategic progress and their proven operational capabilities, pitted squarely against some truly severe near-term headwinds that are impacting not just them, but the broader industry. The central analytical question for any astute investor, or really anyone seeking to grasp the complexities of this crucial space, boils down to this. Is the current market valuation, which has seen Molina's stock price tumble in extreme overreaction to what might be temporary cyclical pressures that will eventually resolve? Or does it reflect a new structurally lower margin environment that could persist indefinitely for companies focused solely on government-sponsored healthcare? We're going to explore both sides of that crucial debate. So let's begin by grounding ourselves in the basics. Who exactly is Molina Healthcare? When we delve into their identity, the term that immediately springs to mind is pure play specialists in government-sponsored healthcare. Can you elaborate on what that designation truly means for Molina and why it's such a defining characteristic of their business model?
That's the perfect starting point, because Molina Healthcare's entire identity, its DNA, if you will, is defined by this singular, unwavering focus. The company was founded way back in 1980 by Dr. C. David Molina, an emergency room physician. His original impetus wasn't about building a massive corporation. It was deeply rooted in a very tangible and critical need he witnessed firsthand, providing quality healthcare services to underserved, low-income families and individuals who consistently struggled to access consistent, compassionate care through traditional healthcare channels. This foundational mission continues to be the guiding principle for the company today. In essence, Molina operates as a crucial intermediary within the complex U.S. healthcare system. They contract directly with federal and state governments to manage the healthcare benefits for eligible members who fall under the umbrella of major public programs like Medicaid, Medicare, and the health insurance marketplace, which, as you know, were established by the Affordable Care Act. Critically, and this is what makes them pure play, they don't dabble in commercial health insurance. Their entire enterprise is dedicated exclusively to these government programs.
So, if I'm understanding correctly, they're not just a healthcare provider. They're like a highly specialized, dedicated management company for these government-backed health programs. That really clarifies their niche. But how does that pure play business model translate into their financial reality? What makes them tick from a revenue and, more importantly, a profitability perspective?
It's a very distinct financial model, and understanding it is key to grasping their current challenges. Molina operates on a capitation payment system. This means they receive a fixed premium, a per member per month, or PMPM payment, from the government for each enrolled member. In return for that fixed payment, Molina assumes the full financial risk for all the healthcare costs incurred by those members. They then take on the responsibility of arranging and coordinating the delivery of all necessary medical services through their network of contracted physicians, hospitals, and other healthcare providers. Think of it like a fixed price contract. They get a set amount, and whatever costs they incur, they're on the hook for.
Okay, so the risk is all theirs, essentially.
Exactly. Therefore, their profitability hinges directly on two absolutely critical factors. First, their ability to accurately price the risk associated with these member populations. This means effectively estimating how much health care these members will need and how much that care will ultimately cost. Get this wrong and you're immediately underwater. Second, and equally vital, is their ability to effectively manage those medical costs within the premium revenue they receive. This involves everything from negotiating favorable rates with providers to implementing effective care management programs that keep members healthy and prevent high-cost interventions.
Right. Managing those costs seems paramount.
It really is. Now, this singular focus on government programs is indeed a double-edged sword. On one hand, it's an immense strength. It allows them to develop incredibly deep domain expertise in what is a notoriously complex, highly regulated, and ever-changing field. They understand the intricate nuances of state-specific Medicaid rules, for instance, far better than a diversified insurer might, which is a huge advantage when bidding for contracts. But on the other hand, it also represents a significant risk because it creates a very high concentration in their business. Their fortunes are exquisitely sensitive to policy changes, government funding shifts, and regulatory adjustments coming directly from federal and state governments. There's no commercial business to fall back on, no other revenue stream to cushion the blow if the government side experiences a downturn or unexpected cost spikes, which is precisely what we're seeing now.
That concentration risk really stands out. They truly live and breathe government healthcare. Now let's talk about where that revenue actually comes from within their specialized focus. Molina has three core segments: Medicaid, Medicare, and the health insurance marketplace. You mentioned that each serves a distinct government-sponsored population. Could you walk us through each segment, detailing its unique characteristics, recent performance, and the specific pressures they're currently facing?
Absolutely. Each of these segments serves a unique population and, as you noted, comes with its own set of challenges, almost like distinct ecosystems within the broader government healthcare landscape. Let's break them down. First, and arguably Molina's most critical component, is Medicaid. This segment represents the substantial majority of their revenue and membership. The Medicaid program, along with the Children's Health Insurance Program, or CHIP, provides vital health plans to eligible low-income adults, children, pregnant women, the elderly, and people with disabilities. Molina contracts directly with individual state governments, and this is key because each state operates its own unique version of the Medicaid program within broader federal guidelines. This means Molina must navigate a patchwork of regulations and priorities across multiple states.
Right, so it's not one size fits all.
Not at all. What we saw in their second quarter 2025 results was a significant industry-wide acceleration in medical costs, putting immense pressure specifically on their Medicaid business. Molina's Medicaid medical care ratio, or MCR, which is a crucial indicator of profitability, hit 91.3%.
Wow, 91.3%. That sounds so high.
It is. To put that into perspective, think of MCR like the cost of goods sold for a healthcare company. A lower MCR means a smaller percentage of the premium revenue collected is being spent on direct medical care, leaving more for administrative costs and, crucially, profit. Molina's long-term target MCR is typically much lower than 91.3%, so this figure is a clear flashing red light, indicating a severe profitability squeeze. The key cost drivers here were persistent pressures in behavioral health, meaning increased demand and costs for mental health and substance abuse services, a surge in high-cost pharmacy scripts, particularly specialty drugs, and a significant increase in overall utilization across both inpatient hospital stays and outpatient care.
So costs are up across the board in Medicaid.
Pretty much. The critical importance for Molina in this segment is securing adequate premium rate adjustments from their state partners. If states don't adjust their capitation rates quickly enough to reflect these rising costs, Molina is left bearing the financial brunt of this mismatch.
Got it. So what about Medicare? How does that segment look?
Okay, next we move to Medicare. This segment primarily focuses on individuals aged 65 or older, or those with certain disabilities who are eligible for Medicare benefits. Molina's strategy here is highly synergistic with its Medicaid business, as it primarily targets what are known as dual eligible beneficiaries.
Dual eligibles. Those are people on both Medicare and Medicaid.
Exactly. These are individuals who qualify for both Medicare and Medicaid, and they often have lower incomes and higher acuity health needs, meaning they require more complex and frequent medical care. Molina offers various types of plans tailored for them, including Medicare Advantage Prescription Drug, or MAPD, plans, dual-eligible special needs plans, or DSNPs, and Medicare Medicaid plans, or MMPs. These plans are specifically designed to coordinate the full spectrum of benefits for this complex, often vulnerable population. Similar to Medicaid, their Medicare business is also experiencing significant cost pressures. Their Q2 2025 Medicare MCR was 90.0%, also above their target. Management pointed to higher utilization among these more acute populations, particularly for long-term services and supports known as LTSS.
LTSS, like nursing homes and home aid.
Precisely. Things like nursing home care or in-home aid, and again, the relentless rise of high-cost drugs is a factor here, too.
Okay, so similar cost pressures in Medicare. What about the third leg, the marketplace?
Right. Finally, we have the marketplace segment. This is where Molina offers qualified health plans through the health insurance exchanges established by the Affordable Care Act, or ACA. This segment has proven to be the most volatile, not just for Molina, but, well, for the industry as a whole. The second quarter of 2025 was particularly challenging, with the marketplace MCR reaching an unexpectedly high 85.4%.
Oof, another high MCR. Why so volatile there?
Management attributed this poor performance to two primary factors. First, higher than expected medical utilization, mirroring the trends in their other segments. And second, and this is crucial, a risk adjustment mechanism that's simply failing to keep pace with what is unequivocally a deteriorating market-wide risk pool.
Risk adjustment. Can you break that down a bit?
Sure. In practical terms, independent external data has validated management's assessment, showing the acuity, essentially, the sickness level of the entire marketplace risk pool increased by a startling 8% year over year. The government's risk adjustment system is designed to transfer funds from plans that happen to enroll healthier members to those that enroll sicker, more costly members. But it's just not adequately compensating for this rapid systemic rise in medical costs across the whole market.
So the system isn't keeping up with how sick people actually are.
That's the gist of it. Imagine you're part of a car insurance pool where suddenly everyone... Well, in direct response to this highly unfavorable risk-reward profile, Molina has made a prudent, defensive, strategic pivot. They are now actively pursuing what they describe as a small, silver, and stable approach within the marketplace. This signifies a deliberate strategy to prioritize achieving mid-single-digit margins, even, and this is important, at the expense of growth.
So they're pulling back on growth to focus on just making some profit.
Pretty much. It's a very pragmatic capital allocation decision, acknowledging the segment's inherent volatility and signaling a clear commitment not to chase unprofitable market share. For a specialized managed care organization like Molina, this implies that the ACA marketplace might function more as a source of ancillary opportunistic revenue rather than a primary growth engine, especially given the added uncertainty surrounding the potential expiration of enhanced federal subsidies that currently make these plans more affordable for many.
That's a fascinating strategic retreat in the marketplace segment, prioritizing stability over growth when the risk-reward equation isn't working. You've unpacked the why behind the MCR spikes. So when we actually look at the hard numbers, the premium revenue, membership growth, and MCR trends across segments from fiscal year 2022 through 2024, What does the data from the source table really highlight about these trends you've described?
Right. Looking at the table really drives it home.
Let's truly dig into that provided table because the numbers tell a powerful story. For Medicaid, we see premium revenue growing substantially from $24.8 billion in fiscal year 2022 to a robust $31.5 billion in fiscal year 2024. Membership also shows some fluctuation, starting at 4.75 million members in 2022, dipping slightly to 4.5 million in 2023, then rebounding to 4.89 million in 2024. But the most revealing trend for Medicaid is the MCR. It steadily increased from 88.0% in 2022 to 88.9% in 2023, and then to a concerning 90.2% in 2024. This consistent upward pressure on medical costs is unmistakable.
That steady climb in the Medicaid MCR is really clear in the data.
For Medicare, premium revenue saw more modest but still positive growth, moving from $3.8 billion in 2022 to $4.1 billion in 2024, with membership holding relatively steady around 150,000-155,000. Their MCR for Medicare, similar to Medicaid, also experienced upward pressure, rising from 88.5% in 2022 to 88.9% in 2024.
Yeah, less dramatic than Medicaid, but the pressure is still visible there too.
And then there's the marketplace, the segment you correctly characterized as the most volatile. Here, premium revenue jumped significantly from $2.26 billion in 2022 to $3.52 billion in 2024. Membership experienced a truly massive swing, going from 348,000 in 2022 to nearly a million in 2023, before dropping back to 553,000 in 2024, indicating aggressive growth followed by, well, retrenchment.
That membership swing is huge. Shows the growth push, then the pullback.
Exactly. And the MCR for Marketplace truly highlights the volatility you described. It was 87.2% in 2022, dropped to a remarkably strong 75.2% in 2023.
Which must have looked great at the time.
Right. But then, crucially, shot back up to 81.3% in 2024. This clearly illustrates the challenges you were just describing, particularly that unexpected surge in medical utilization and the struggles with risk adjustment.
That MCR roller coaster really paints the picture of the marketplace issues.
So if we use our analogy from earlier, think of it like being a highly specialized chef running a successful restaurant. You're truly amazing at one specific type of cuisine, perhaps a regional specialty. For a long time, you perfected your recipes and managed your ingredient costs brilliantly, keeping your kitchen highly profitable. But suddenly the cost of your key ingredients, the specific spices, the unique meats, skyrockets, seemingly overnight. If you don't quickly adjust your menu prices to reflect these new higher ingredient costs, your kitchen will start losing money fast. Molina is facing exactly that ingredients cost problem, and they need to adjust their menu prices, those premium rates from the government, to avoid a major hit to their bottom line.
That analogy perfectly captures the core dilemma they face. And it brings us to Molina's extensive geographic footprint, which adds another layer to their operational complexity and risk profile. As of early 2023, they operate in 19 states, with significant concentration in key, large states like California, Florida, Michigan, Texas, and Washington. While this concentration allows them to build incredibly deep regional expertise, foster strong relationships with local providers and regulators, and achieve economies of scale within those specific markets, it simultaneously exposes them greatly to the unique regulatory, political, and budgetary environments of just a handful of state governments.
So heavy reliance on a few big states.
Yes, and this exposure leads to what we call revenue lumpiness. Their revenue isn't smoothly distributed or guaranteed year over year. It's tied to the staggered schedule of state contract reprocurements. These are multi-year contracts, often lasting 3 to 5 years, and when one comes up for bid, it represents either a huge opportunity for significant growth if they win, or a substantial risk of losing a large block of revenue if they don't. So investors, and anyone trying to understand their business, really have to keep a close eye on those state-level procurement calendars, because a single loss contract in a large state could have a disproportionate impact on their overall revenue and profitability.
That makes perfect sense. Their fate is very much tied to a few key state relationships. Okay, let's broaden our lens now beyond just Molina and look at the entire U.S. managed care industry. It's often described as a mature, highly regulated sector with significant barriers to entry. What are the powerful macroeconomic and demographic drivers supporting its long-term growth, even amidst these formidable current headwinds? Because despite the storm, there must be a reason this industry continues to exist and grow.
That's a crucial distinction, because while the short-term picture is stormy, the long-term trends for managed care are undeniably strong. It's true, the industry is incredibly mature and notoriously difficult to break into. The barriers to entry are immense. You need substantial regulatory capital reserves to absorb risk, the ability to build and maintain extensive compliant provider networks across vast geographies, and a deep, highly complex operational expertise to navigate the labyrinth of state and federal healthcare regulations.
Yeah, it's not like you can just start one up easily.
Not at all. However, despite these operational hurdles and the current profitability pressures, the long-term growth of this industry is underpinned by some incredibly powerful and durable macroeconomic and demographic trends that are practically structural. Firstly, and perhaps most fundamentally, the aging of the U.S. population provides a sustained structural tailwind for Medicare enrollment. As more and more of the baby boomer generation reaches 65 and beyond, the pool of potential Medicare beneficiaries steadily expands year after year. This isn't a cyclical trend, it's a demographic certainty.
Right, the silver tsunami.
Exactly. Secondly, and perhaps even more fundamentally, both federal and state governments share a persistent bipartisan objective to control the escalating costs of healthcare. Healthcare spending in the U.S. is truly massive. In 2023 alone, total U.S. health spending reached an astonishing $4.9 trillion, accounting for a staggering 17.6% of the nation's gross domestic product.
$4.9 trillion, that's just a huge number.
It's enormous. Within that colossal sum, Medicare alone represents 21% of all healthcare expenditures, and Medicaid represents 18%. These are dominant forces in the national budget. The primary strategy governments are increasingly employing to rein in these ballooning costs is to shift beneficiaries away from traditional uncapped fee-for-service or FFS payment models, where providers are paid for every single service, which inadvertently incentivizes more volume to managed care.
So shift from paper service to paper person.
Precisely. In the managed care model, managed care organizations, MCOs, like Molina, are paid a fixed, predictable capitation fee to manage the total cost of care for a given population. This ongoing, deliberate transition from FFS to managed care provides a large and consistently growing addressable market for companies like Molina. What's even more compelling is that projections clearly indicate that national health spending growth will continue to outpace GDP growth over the next decade. This suggests a sustained expansion of the overall revenue pool available to MCOs, even as governments strive for efficiency. This is the undeniable big picture tailwind, regardless of the near-term storm. It's like being in an industry that's experiencing a massive, slow-moving flood of new customers, even if you're trying to navigate some choppy waters right now.
That long-term demographic tailwind for managed care seems almost unstoppable. It truly makes sense why so much capital is deployed here. But it feels like the current regulatory environment is throwing some massive wrenches into the gears, creating those choppy waters you just mentioned. You used a powerful phrase earlier describing this industry as operating in a regulatory gauntlet. That immediately makes me wonder, what are the specific regulatory challenges right now? What are the biggest policy shifts that are hitting these companies, and Molina in particular, the hardest? And why are they causing such disruption?
That's a critical point, because the regulatory environment is not just complex, it is intensely dynamic and currently quite challenging for MCOs. The most significant near-term disruption, one that's fundamentally reshaped the risk profile of millions, is undoubtedly the unwinding of the Medicaid continuous enrollment provision.
Ah, yes, the unwinding. That's been huge news.
It really has. For 3 years during the COVID-19 public health emergency, states were prohibited from disenrolling Medicaid members, even if their eligibility status changed. This provision naturally caused Medicaid program rolls to swell by millions of individuals, many of whom might have otherwise cycled off due to income changes or finding new employment. The conclusion of this provision and the resumption of eligibility redeterminations in 2023 have indeed led to millions of individuals losing Medicaid coverage.
Millions losing coverage.
Yes. Now, here's the crucial insight about the unwinding. It didn't just reduce Medicaid rolls. It fundamentally inverted the risk pool for MCOs.
Inverted the risk pool. How so?
Think about it this way. The healthier individuals, the ones who had gained employment or simply didn't have significant medical needs, were generally more likely to lose coverage during the redeterminations. Why? Because they became ineligible due to income changes, or they found alternative, often employer-sponsored, insurance. What's left behind for MCOs like Molina is, on average, a sicker, more costly member base with a significantly higher baseline level of healthcare needs.
So the people remaining are, on average, sicker and need more care.
Exactly. This sudden and dramatic shift in acuity is the primary driver of the current mismatch we're seeing across the entire industry. The premium rates that plans receive were largely set based on pre-unwinding actuarial assumptions, reflecting that healthier, artificially expanded risk pool. But Molina is now left covering a sicker population with inadequate revenue to match the increased risk. It's a systemic risk adjustment failure on a massive scale, and that's the core of their financial pain right now.
Wow, that really clarifies the why behind the cost pressures. What else is happening on the regulatory front?
Well, beyond Medicaid, the Medicare Advantage, or MA, market, which is a key growth area for many MCOs, is also facing a confluence of significant pressures. The Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, or IRA, introduced several provisions that are increasing costs for MA plans. Most notably, a new $2,000 annual out-of-pocket cap on Part D prescription drugs took effect in 2025.
Which is good for seniors, but adds costs for the plans.
Precisely. While this is great news for members, it means MA plans are now on the hook for those drug costs above the cap, increasing their financial exposure. Simultaneously, plans are contending with limited rate increases from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS. These rate increases have been lower than what the industry had hoped for to offset rising medical costs. Furthermore, there have been unfavorable changes to how risk adjustment models work, which are critical determinants of a plan's revenue, and adjustments to the star ratings programs, which impact bonus payments. Both of these changes can directly impact a plan's financial health, collectively compressing MA margins industry-wide.
So less money coming in, more costs going out in MA, too.
That's the squeeze. And then, looming over everything, is the persistent long-term risk of federal budget and political uncertainty. Given that Medicare and Medicaid represent such a significant share of the federal budget, consistently ranking among the largest line items, they are always potential targets for proposed spending reductions, especially during periods of fiscal constraint or political deadlock.
Right, they're always in the chopping block, it seems.
You often hear discussions around potential policy changes, such as imposing work requirements for Medicaid recipients, altering the federal medical assistance percentage, or FMAP, which dictates the federal share of Medicaid costs. A reduction here would force states to either make up the difference or cut services, or other structural reforms that could fundamentally alter how these programs are funded. Any of these could reduce federal funding to states, which would inevitably place pressure on state budgets and ultimately translate into lower reimbursement rates for MCOs like Molina. While Molina's management currently anticipates that any such changes will be modest and gradual, the risk of adverse, sudden policy action remains a key variable for the entire sector's long-term profitability.
So it's not just a perfect storm. It's a multi-front assault. Higher costs from a sicker patient population, less money coming in due to changes in how the government adjusts for risk, and the ever-present threat of broad political shifts influencing funding. That's an incredible amount to navigate. Now, let's turn to the competitive landscape. The government-sponsored managed care market is notoriously concentrated, often referred to as the domain of the Big Five dominant players. How does Molina, as a pure-play specialist, stack up against these giants, especially when you consider their diversified business models?
You're absolutely right. It's a very consolidated market with immense scale advantages for the largest players. The Big Five Centene, Elevance Health, United Health Group, Molina, and CVS Aetna collectively account for over half of all Medicaid MCO enrollment nationally, giving them significant market power. Molina, despite its substantial size, competes directly with these larger and, in most cases, far more diversified entities.
Okay, so who are the main competitors we should know about?
Let's quickly outline some of Molina's main competitors to give you a sense of the competitive environment. Centene Corporation, CNC, is arguably Molina's most direct and significant competitor. They are the nation's largest Medicaid managed care organization, focusing heavily on government-sponsored programs. It's highly notable that Centene recently made headlines by unexpectedly withdrawing its 2025 financial guidance.
Wow, Centene pulled their guidance. That's big.
It is. This action strongly suggests they are facing similar, if not more severe, medical cost pressures, further underscoring the industry-wide nature and severity of these current challenges. If even the largest Medicaid player is pulling guidance, it sends a strong signal to the market.
Definitely a sign things are tough across the board. Who else?
Then there's Elevance Health, ELV, formerly known as Anthem. They are a much larger and significantly more diversified insurer. Their extensive Blue Cross and Blue Shield footprint gives them immense scale and brand recognition across the country, particularly in commercial markets. While they certainly have a substantial government business segment that directly competes with Molina for Medicaid and Medicare Advantage members, their overall business is much more balanced with large commercial and specialty segments. This diversification provides Elevance with a crucial level of insulation and flexibility that a pure play like Molina simply lacks.
So Elevance has other businesses to lean on.
Exactly. And finally, we have United Health Group, UNH, which is not just the largest health insurer in the United States, but also arguably the gold standard in the industry in terms of scale, broad diversification, and perhaps most importantly, vertical integration. Their Optum division is a massive, sprawling, integrated health services business that encompasses a pharmacy benefit manager, or PBM, sophisticated data analytics capabilities, and a rapidly growing network of owned or affiliated physician practices.
Optum. Yeah, you hear about them everywhere.
You do.
Yeah.
This deep vertical integration provides UNH with a truly formidable competitive advantage that smaller, less diversified players like Molina simply cannot easily replicate. It allows them to exert greater control over the entire healthcare cost chain, from the moment a patient visits a doctor to the prescription drugs they pick up, giving them levers to manage costs and improve outcomes that are out of reach for many competitors. This is why when UNH makes a move, the entire industry pays attention.
That Optum division from United Health Group truly sounds like a game changer. It gives them a level of control that's almost intimidating. So for a second-tier player like Molina, who doesn't have that kind of integrated might, where does their competitive edge truly lie? Are they fighting with one hand tied behind their back? Or do they have a secret weapon in their specialized niche that the giants ironically can't replicate?
That's a critical question, and it gets to the heart of Molina's strategic positioning. While they may be a second-tier player in terms of overall market size compared to the diversified giants, within their specialized niche of government programs, Molina has indeed established a strong competitive position. They aren't fighting with one hand tied behind their back. They're fighting with extreme precision and focus.
Okay, so precision and focus. How does that translate into advantages?
Well, the most critical metric to assess operational effectiveness in managed care is the medical care ratio, or MCR, which measures medical costs as a percentage of premium revenue. As we discussed, a lower MCR indicates more effective management of healthcare expenses and, crucially, higher profitability. A core part of the bullish argument for Molina, and what they've consistently demonstrated historically, is management's assertion that its highly specialized pure-play model allows it to operate with Medicaid MCRs that are consistently 200 to 300 basis points lower than the broader market average.
So they claim to be more efficient at managing Medicaid costs, specifically.
That's the claim, and historically they've shown it. If they can sustain this advantage, which is the current challenge they face, it's a powerful differentiator, akin to having a consistently lower cost of goods sold than your competitors in the restaurant business. The second key efficiency metric is the general and administrative, or G&A, expense ratio. Molina undertook a major corporate turnaround in 2017, which involved significant restructuring and aggressive cost-cutting that fundamentally streamlined its administrative functions. As a direct result, the company has historically operated with a lean, efficient cost structure. This administrative efficiency is absolutely crucial, especially during periods of MCR pressure like the one they're experiencing now, because it acts as a buffer to profitability.
Lower overhead helps absorb shocks.
Makes sense. Exactly. If your medical costs go up, but your overhead is already incredibly low, you have more room to absorb those shocks before they severely impact your bottom line. It's like having very low fixed costs in your restaurant. Even if your ingredient costs rise, you still have a chance to break even or turn a small profit.
So if I'm understanding correctly, their moat isn't about sheer size or diversification, but rather about extreme operational efficiency and specialized expertise. That's fascinating. So what does this all mean for Molina's moat, its sustainable competitive advantage? Where are they undeniably strong, and where are they most vulnerable in this very dynamic market?
Let's break down their competitive moat into specific advantages and disadvantages. On the advantage side, their pure play focus and expertise is paramount. Decades of exclusively focusing on government programs have imbued Molina with incredibly deep institutional knowledge of the complex and varied regulatory landscapes across different states. This isn't something you can easily replicate. This expertise is a significant asset when they bid for and operate state Medicaid contracts, allowing them to tailor their offerings, build strong relationships with state agencies, and navigate the intricate compliance requirements that a less focused, more diversified competitor might miss or struggle with. It's a highly specialized language they speak fluently.
That deep knowledge must be valuable.
Very. Second, their lean cost structure is a direct and very deliberate legacy of that post-2017 turnaround. Having a more efficient administrative infrastructure means that a larger portion of each premium dollar they receive can be allocated directly to medical care for their members, which is their core mission, or, critically, contribute directly to profit margins. In a low-margin business like government-managed care, where profits are often measured in single-digit percentages, every basis point of efficiency counts, and Molina has proven its ability to squeeze costs out of its operations.
Efficiency matters a lot in low-margin businesses.
Absolutely. And third, they have a disciplined and proven acquisition strategy. Molina has developed a repeatable playbook for growth through what they call bolt-on acquisitions. They specifically target smaller, often geographically contiguous, and frequently underperforming health plans that they can acquire at attractive valuations. The core idea is that they can then apply their proprietary operational expertise, their secret sauce of medical cost management and administrative efficiency, to improve the acquired plan's MCR and overall profitability, thereby creating significant value. We've seen successful examples of this with their acquisition of Affinity Health Plan in New York, My Choice Wisconsin, and the California Medicare business from Bright Health. This strategy allows them to gain density in existing markets or enter new ones more quickly than through organic growth alone, and crucially, they've demonstrated they can make these acquisitions accretive.
So buying fixer-uppers and turning them around.
That's a good way to put it. However, this very specialization also comes with distinct and significant disadvantages. Their limited scale compared to behemoths like United Health Group and Elevance Health means they inherently have less bargaining power when negotiating reimbursement rates with large national hospital systems and pharmaceutical companies. Those larger players can demand steeper discounts due to the sheer volume of patients they represent. Molina also has a smaller revenue base over which to spread its fixed corporate costs, making them potentially less efficient at a macro level, even if they are lean internally.
Less clout in negotiations due to size.
Right. Perhaps most critically, their lack of broad diversification is a major vulnerability. Their heavy concentration in government programs makes them acutely sensitive. Some might say precariously exposed to shifts in healthcare policy, changes in government funding priorities, and state-level budget cuts. Unlike diversified peers that have large commercial books of business to offset weakness, Molina simply cannot compensate for a downturn in its Medicaid or Medicare segments with strength elsewhere. If Medicaid takes a hit, Molina takes a hit. There's no other leg to stand on.
All their eggs are in the government basket, essentially.
Pretty much. And finally, they have limited vertical integration. This is where a company like United Health Group, with its massive Optum Health Services platform, has a truly formidable and arguably unassailable advantage. Optum provides UNH with unparalleled data analytics capabilities, a captive pharmacy benefit manager that manages drug costs, and a rapidly growing network of own or affiliated physician practices. This deep integration allows UNH to exert greater control over the entire healthcare cost chain, from the very point of care delivery to the final prescription. It gives them powerful levers to manage costs and improve outcomes in a way that Molina, without that same level of integrated control, simply cannot. This means Molina is more reliant on its external provider networks and less able to dictate or influence care management in the same comprehensive way.
That truly clarifies Molina's moat, or perhaps the specific niche within the larger pond where they excel and the inherent vulnerabilities that come with that specialization. So while they're lean and focused, they lack some of the structural advantages of the diversified giants. That brings me to provider networks and technology. Are they actively investing in these areas to strengthen their position and perhaps shore up some of these areas where they might be at a disadvantage?
That's a perceptive question because the quality and breadth of a health plan's provider network are absolutely crucial for attracting and retaining members, and perhaps even more importantly, for effectively managing care and costs. While direct, apples-to-apples comparisons can be challenging due to varying methodologies, some available survey data suggests this could be an area where Molina faces a relative challenge. One 2025 survey, for instance, indicated that 76% of Molina customers expressed satisfaction with the company's network, which, for context, lagged behind peers like Elevance Health, which scored 88%.
76% versus 88%. That's a noticeable gap.
It is. This suggests there's still room for improvement in network satisfaction, which directly impacts member experience and indirectly retention. Recognizing the critical importance of proactive care management in controlling long-term costs, particularly for their higher acuity population, Molina is making targeted and strategic investments in technology and digital health capabilities. They are actively deploying cutting-edge tools like artificial intelligence or AI and other digital platforms.
Using AI to manage care better.
Yes, the overarching goal here is multifaceted. To identify high-risk members earlier in their care journey, to improve care management workflows, and to optimize interventions, particularly for chronic conditions and in areas like obstetrical care. For example, AI can help predict which members are most likely to experience a health crisis, allowing Molina to intervene proactively with targeted support programs. Essentially, they're trying to leverage technology to be smarter and more efficient about managing the complex and often expensive care needs of their sicker, higher acuity population, which is crucial for long-term MCR improvement and, importantly, for delivering better health outcomes for their members.
That brings us to Molina's financial story, which you hinted at earlier as a narrative arc. It truly reads like a saga from a period of operational distress through a remarkably successful turnaround, and now into this current period of significant industry-wide pressure. Walk us through that journey with some of the key numbers from the provided data. What was the trajectory, and what exactly derailed it so abruptly in the most recent period?
It's a compelling financial saga that truly tells a tale of two distinct eras. If we look at their performance from, say, 2018 up until recently, it paints a clear picture of recovery and disciplined execution following the challenging 2017 period. You can see steady and robust revenue growth. Their total revenue, for example, grew from $18.89 billion in 2018 to a substantial $40.65 billion in 2024.
That's more than double in 6 years. Impressive.
Very much so. Premium revenue followed a similar impressive upward trend, from $17.6 billion to $39.16 billion. This growth wasn't accidental. It was driven by a powerful combination of consistent organic contract wins in new states or renewals, and those strategic value-accretive acquisitions we discussed earlier. Critically, their consolidated medical care ratio saw progressive and significant improvement during this turnaround period, moving from a consolidated 85.9% in 2018 to stabilizing around a very respectable 87.8% in 2023.
So MCR was getting better, costs were under control.
Right. This MCR improvement directly translated into expanding net income, which surged from $707 million in 2018 to $1.18 billion in 2024, and a corresponding impressive expansion in adjusted diluted earnings per share, or EPS, which grew from $10.61 to $20.27 over the same period. This period unequivocally showcased management's ability to instill rigorous operational discipline, execute their strategic plan effectively, and consistently demonstrate that they could manage costs, win new business, and grow profitability even in a complex environment. They proved they were skilled operators.
Okay, so a great turnaround story until recently.
Exactly. However, the most recent results from 2024, and particularly the second quarter of 2025, mark a sharp, abrupt, and highly concerning reversal of this positive trend. The second quarter of 2025 represents a true inflection point for Molina and, frankly, for the broader managed care industry, especially those focused on government programs. The company reported a consolidated MCR of 90.4%, which was a significant and unwelcome negative surprise to the market. As we mentioned earlier, their core Medicaid segment MCR soared to 91.3%, both figures substantially above their long-term target ranges and a dramatic reversal from just a year prior.
Huge jump in costs again.
A huge jump. This severe margin compression was broad-based across all segments, driven by higher-than-expected utilization across behavioral health services, a relentless rise in the cost of high-cost specialty drugs, and persistently elevated levels of both inpatient hospital stays and outpatient care. It truly was a widespread increase in healthcare consumption.
And the why goes back to the unwinding.
And here's the critical piece, the why, behind this sudden and dramatic spike. This increase in medical costs is not a random or isolated event. It is a direct and, importantly, a predictable consequence of the post-public health emergency unwinding of Medicaid continuous enrollment. For several years during the pandemic, the prohibition on disenrollment meant that millions of relatively healthy individuals who might otherwise have cycled off Medicaid due to changes in income or employment remained artificially on the rolls. This situation artificially suppressed MCRs across the entire managed care industry.
Right, the healthier people kept the average cost down.
Exactly. With the resumption of redeterminations, a significant number of these healthier, lower-cost members have now been disenrolled. What remains on Molina's rolls is, on average, a sicker, higher acuity population with significantly higher baseline healthcare needs. The core of the current crisis for Molina and for the industry is a fundamental structural mismatch. The fixed premium rates that state governments pay Molina were largely set based on actuarial assumptions from the pre-unwinding period, which implicitly reflected that healthier, artificially expanded risk pool. Molina is now incurring the significantly higher medical costs of a sicker population while receiving revenue that does not yet fully account for this increased risk. It's like being paid to insure a fleet of family cars, but suddenly realizing you're actually insuring a fleet of race cars without adjusting the premiums.
That's a great analogy. Paid for Civics, insuring Ferraris.
Something like that. To compound the situation, the depletion of state-level risk corridors, these were mechanisms designed to share the burden of unexpected cost spikes between the health plans and the states, means that Molina is now bearing the full financial impact of this actuarial imbalance. This explains the severity of the earnings pressure and the dramatic, significant reduction in their full-year 2025 adjusted EPS guidance, which was aggressively cut from an initial $24.50 to a floor of no less than $19.
Wow. Cutting guidance from $24.50 down to $19. That's a truly massive downward revision, signaling profound financial pain.
It absolutely is a huge reset of expectations.
That's a staggering reduction in guidance, and your explanation of the unwinding as an inversion of the risk pool rather than just a decrease in members really brings home the core issue. So if this structural mismatch is at the heart of the crisis, what's the single most critical catalyst that could turn things around for Molina in the near future? What's the one thing everyone should be watching?
Without a shadow of a doubt, the 2026 Medicaid rate setting cycle is the most critical near-term catalyst for Molina. This is the pivotal event that will determine their immediate future. Management has clearly indicated that approximately 55% of Molina's substantial Medicaid premium revenue renews on January 1st of each year. This means the negotiations with states for the 2026 rates, which are happening right now, are a truly make-or-break moment.
So getting the rates right for 2026 is everything.
It really is. A successful outcome, where states grant premium rate increases that accurately and sufficiently reflect the new, higher acuity cost reality of the post-unwinding population, would pave the way for margin normalization. It would allow Molina to be adequately compensated for the sicker population they're now covering, bringing their revenue back into alignment with their costs. Conversely, an unfavorable outcome, where states are unwilling or unable to provide sufficient rate relief, perhaps due to their own budgetary constraints or political considerations, would suggest a more prolonged period of depressed profitability. This could effectively lock in those low margins for at least another year, potentially longer, prolonging the financial pain and uncertainty. All eyes in the industry are laser-focused on those negotiations because the stakes couldn't be higher.
That puts a very fine point on the immediate future for the company. Now, let's quickly touch on their financial health beyond just the P&L. How does their balance sheet look? And what about their cash flow during this turbulent period? Are they liquid enough to weather this storm?
Historically, Molina has maintained a solid balance sheet, which is a testament to the financial discipline instilled during its turnaround phase. They've managed their debt levels prudently and, crucially, meet the stringent regulatory capital requirements mandated by state and federal governments, which are designed to ensure solvency. They also have a strong track record of efficiently converting their earnings into operating cash flow, which is generally a good sign of fundamental financial health and indicates a high quality of earnings.
So, historically solid financially. What about right now?
Well, the most recent results for the first quarter of 2025 did show a net operating cash outflow of $112 million.
Ooh, negative cash flow. Is that a red flag?
It's something to watch. While management has largely attributed this to the timing of payments from and to government agencies, which is a common source of working capital volatility for managed care organizations, a sustained negative trend in operating cash flow would certainly be a significant concern for investors. It could potentially indicate deeper issues with profitability or working capital management beyond just temporary timing differences. For now, it's viewed as a timing anomaly, but it's an area analysts will be watching closely as subsequent quarters are reported, especially if profitability continues to be pressured.
So they're lean and have a track record of financial discipline, which is good, but the cash flow bears watching. Given all this, how is Molina planning to grow and manage its capital in this incredibly challenging, uncertain environment? What's their strategy to not just survive, but thrive?
Molina's growth strategy is built upon what they refer to as a dual-engine growth model, combining disciplined organic expansion with a programmatic, repeatable approach to acquisitions. It's a balanced, pragmatic strategy for growth in a tough market.
Dual-engine. Organic and acquisitions.
Got it. For organic growth, the primary driver of large-scale long-term growth is their ability to win new state Medicaid contracts and successfully reprocure existing ones when they come up for bid. This is a highly competitive and complex process that demands deep operational expertise, strong relationships with state regulators, and the ability to submit compelling, cost-effective proposals that meet a state's specific needs. Molina has demonstrated its continued competitiveness and prowess in this arena with recent successes, including winning new contracts in Iowa and Nebraska, and crucially, successfully defending its significant long-standing contracts in key states like Mississippi and California. These contract wins, once secured, are typically multi-year agreements and provide a stable base for organic membership and revenue growth, which is vital in their pure play model.
So winning state contracts is engine number one.
Right.
Complementing this organic engine, they have a disciplined and repeatable bolt-on acquisition strategy for inorganic growth. As we discussed earlier, the company specifically targets smaller, often geographically contiguous health plans, which are frequently underperforming or struggling, and can be acquired at attractive valuations. The core of this strategy is Molina's confidence in its operational playbook. They genuinely believe they can step in, acquire these assets, and dramatically improve the acquired plan's performance by implementing their proven medical cost management and administrative efficiency programs. Recent successful examples include their acquisition of Affinity Health Plan in New York, My Choice Wisconsin, and the California Medicare business from Bright Health,
This M&A strategy allows Molina to enter new markets or gain density in existing ones more quickly and efficiently than through organic efforts alone. It's about systematically buying underperforming assets and applying their expertise to unlock significant value, essentially turning around struggling operations.
Okay, so Engine 2 is buying and fixing smaller plants. How do they decide where the money goes?
In terms of capital allocation, Molina's management team has articulated a clear, disciplined, and transparent framework with a defined hierarchy of priorities, which is reassuring to investors. First and foremost, they prioritize reinvesting the business to support organic growth opportunities, ensuring they have the infrastructure and capabilities to win and manage new contracts. Second, they pursue value-creative acquisitions that fit their disciplined playbook, making sure any inorganic growth adds true value to the company. And third, once those two priorities are met and there's excess capital that cannot be efficiently deployed within the business, they are committed to returning it to shareholders.
So internal growth first, then good acquisitions, then return capital.
That's the hierarchy. This commitment to returning capital is evidenced by their active share repurchase program. For example, in the first quarter of 2025 alone, Molina purchased approximately 1.7 million shares for $500 million.
Half a billion in buybacks in one quarter.
Yep. This level of buyback activity, particularly when the stock price has been declining, sends a very strong signal from management. It reflects their deep confidence in the company's long-term intrinsic value and their belief that the stock is currently significantly undervalued by the market. This balanced approach to deploying capital both for external growth through M&A and for direct shareholder returns via buybacks demonstrates a comprehensive strategy aimed at creating long-term shareholder value, even in challenging times.
So they have a clear playbook for growth and capital allocation, which is encouraging. But let's be realistic here. Investing in a company so uniquely concentrated in government healthcare programs carries its own distinct set of risks. What are the specific risks that genuinely keep Molina's leadership up at night, and how likely or impactful are these challenges? Let's talk about the comprehensive risk assessment.
Indeed. The risks are substantial and distinct precisely because of that high concentration in government programs. We can categorize them to provide a clearer picture. First, let's look at operational and financial risks. The most significant and immediate risk, one they are actively experiencing, is sustained medical cost inflation. As we've detailed, this leads to severe compression of their medical care ratio and consequently their after-tax margins. If this persists, it could make it impossible for them to hit their long-term profitability targets. This is currently happening and is assessed as having a high likelihood.
High likelihood of continued cost pressure. That's tough.
Very. Closely related is the inability to effectively manage a higher acuity member population that remains after the Medicaid unwinding. If they fail to adapt their care management models and operational processes to this sicker member base, it could lead to chronic MCR elevation, essentially baking in higher costs. That's a medium likelihood risk. And then there's provider network instability. If providers become dissatisfied due to rate pressures from Molina or contract disputes, it could lead to network disruptions, making it harder for members to access care, and potentially leading to regulatory penalties. That's also a medium likelihood.
Okay, operational risks are clear. What about regulatory and political ones? Those seem huge for Molina.
They are arguably the most profound for a government-focused entity. The absolute most critical risk here, as we highlighted, is an inadequate 2026 Medicaid rate cycle. If they fail to secure premium rate increases from states that are commensurate with the current and projected medical cost trends, it would effectively lock in low margins for a full year or more. This is also a high likelihood risk given the current budget pressures on states.
High likelihood on the rate cycle risk, too. That's concerning.
It is. Beyond that, there's the pervasive risk of adverse federal policy changes, such as reductions in federal Medicaid funding through FMAP changes, which would pressure state budgets and, in turn, force MCOs like Molina to accept lower reimbursement rates. That's a medium likelihood risk, particularly with ongoing federal budget debates and the lead up to a presidential election. Finally, while it's a low likelihood event due to Molina's strong track record, the loss of a major state contract like a reprocurement failure in a key state such as California or Texas would have an extremely high impact, resulting in a material and sudden loss of revenue and earnings. It's a low probability, high consequence scenario.
Got it. And competitive risks.
And then we consider competitive and execution risks. There's the risk of intensified price competition. Larger, more diversified peers like United Health Group could leverage their immense scale and vertical integration to bid incredibly aggressively on state contracts, putting significant pressure on Molina's market share and profitability. This is a medium likelihood risk. While Molina has a strong and proven track record with acquisitions, there's always the inherent risk of acquisition integration failure, an inability to achieve projected synergies or effectively integrate acquired plans, potentially leading to financial underperformance or operational headaches. That's a low likelihood due to their established playbook, but it's always a consideration. Lastly, further marketplace deterioration, whether from a worsening ACA risk pool, meaning sicker members continue to enroll disproportionately, or the potential expiration of enhanced federal subsidies that make plans more affordable, could lead to larger than expected losses in that segment, which is a medium likelihood risk.
That's a very clear-eyed and comprehensive view of the challenges. It truly brings us right back to the central investment question we posed at the very beginning. Is the market's decisive and rather brutal reaction to Molina's recent results an overreaction to temporary cyclical pressures that will eventually normalize? Or does it reflect a new, less profitable reality for the company and perhaps the entire government-focused managed care sector?
The market has, as you accurately put it, reacted decisively and severely. A look at Molina's current valuation relative to its peers, and crucially, its own historical trading ranges, reveals a significant dislocation. Their forward price to earnings, or PE ratio, stands at approximately 7-8x.
7 to 8 times earnings. That seems low compared to the overall market.
It is. And put that into perspective, this represents a substantial discount to larger, more diversified peers like United Health Group and Elevance Health, which typically trade in the low to mid-teens PE range, often 14x to 18x. It's even more striking when you consider it's nearly a 50% discount to Molina's own 10-year historical average PE ratio, which was around 21x.
Wow, nearly half its historical average PE.
Exactly. This level of valuation compression isn't just a slight dip. It's the market essentially saying, we've lost our crystal ball for Molina's future earnings. We simply don't know how much profit they'll consistently make, so we're valuing them far lower than usual as a result, demanding a much higher yield for the uncertainty. This compression is also evident across other metrics, such as price to sales and enterprise value to EBITDA, where Molina trades at the low end of its peer group. Even Centene, which is facing similar turmoil and recently withdrew its 2025 guidance, shows a PE in the 4-5x range.
Even lower for Centene.
Yes, indicating the market is heavily discounting these government-focused MCOs right now due to the sector-wide pressures. This current valuation of Molina Healthcare isn't a reflection of its strong historical performance post-turnaround. Instead, it's a forward-looking assessment by the market of a highly uncertain earnings environment. The precipitous drop in the stock price and the dramatic compression of its valuation multiples are a direct consequence of that Q2 2025 earnings report and the accompanying stark reduction in full-year guidance. The market is effectively pricing in a sustained period of margin compression and has very low visibility into the company's ability to quickly restore profitability to its long-term target levels. It's a pricing of uncertainty.
So this really sets up that central debate for investors, doesn't it? That classic tension between the bullish argument and the bearish argument. What do those two camps contend?
Exactly. The bullish interpretation would argue that the market has fundamentally overreacted to what is a temporary, albeit severe, dislocation. This view posits that the current mismatch between escalating medical cost trends and lagging premium rates is largely cyclical and solvable. They believe it will be resolved during the crucial 2026 rate-setting process for Medicaid, which we highlighted as the key near-term catalyst. If Molina can successfully secure adequate rate increases from state partners, their earnings power would recover significantly, which would likely lead to a substantial re-rating of their stock and multiple expansion back toward their historical higher norms. Bulls would point to management's proven operational capabilities and disciplined approach as reasons for confidence in this outcome.
So the bulls say, it's temporary, they'll fix it with rates, the stock will bounce back.
That's the essence of it. Conversely, the bearish interpretation contends that the current pressures are more structural and fundamental in nature. This view suggests that medical cost inflation will remain persistently high, perhaps driven by new high-cost drugs or increased healthcare utilization patterns, and that state governments, facing their own constrained budgets, will be unable or unwilling to provide sufficient rate relief to fully offset these costs. In this more pessimistic scenario, the managed care industry, particularly for pure-play, government-focused players like Molina, would face a permanent impairment of its long-term margin profile.
The bears say, this is the new normal. Margins are permanently lower. The low valuation is justified.
Precisely. If this is indeed the case, then the current low valuation, which implies a much lower baseline for future earnings, is entirely justified. The resolution of this fundamental debate, whether it's a temporary storm or a new climate, will hinge almost entirely on Molina's ability to navigate the next 12 to 18 months of rate negotiations and its ongoing aggressive efforts in cost management. That's the multi-billion dollar question.
That's the million-dollar question for sure, with massive implications. Lastly, let's talk about the people steering this ship. What's the quality of Molina's leadership? And what about their corporate governance framework? How do they inspire confidence, or not, in navigating these stormy waters?
The current leadership team at Molina Healthcare, which was largely installed in 2017, has indeed been instrumental in the company's significant operational turnaround. President and CEO Joseph Sobretzky brought extensive industry experience from senior executive roles at major players like Aetna and Hanover Insurance Group. When he arrived, he led a major restructuring that involved making tough but necessary decisions, such as exiting unprofitable markets, aggressively streamlining administrative costs, and fundamentally strengthening the balance sheet, ensuring the company's solvency. This crucial stabilization phase was then successfully followed by a pivot to a disciplined growth strategy, relentlessly focused on the company's core competencies and government programs. That track record of successfully executing a major, complex turnaround truly lends credibility to their ability to navigate the current, equally challenging period.
So the CEO has turnaround experience. That's a plus.
Definitely. He's supported by a seasoned executive team, including Chief Financial Officer Mark L. Keim and Chief Operating Officer James E. Woys, both of whom also possess deep, practical experience in the managed care sector. Their communication with investors has been direct and transparent regarding the current cost pressures, acknowledging the severity of the situation while consistently maintaining a strong belief and confidence in the long-term viability and strategic positioning of their business model. They've been quite clear about the challenges.
And what about the governance structure itself? How is the board set up to provide oversight and ensure accountability, especially during such a volatile time?
Molina's corporate governance framework appears to be robust and aligned with standard best practices for a publicly traded company. The board of directors is composed of a clear majority of independent directors, which is a key indicator of good governance, and is led by an independent chairman, Dale B. Wolf.
Independent chairman, majority independent directors. Good signs.
Yes. This separation of chairman and CEO roles often provides an added layer of independent oversight. The board is structured with several key committees, including the Audit Committee, Compensation Committee, and Corporate Governance and Nominating Committee. Critically, each of these committees is composed entirely of independent directors, further ensuring that critical oversight functions like financial reporting, executive compensation, and board composition are free from undue management influence. Their corporate governance guidelines explicitly emphasize director independence, a diverse range of experience among board members, and a strong commitment to shareholder interests. This also includes an increasing focus on environmental, social, and governance, ESG matters, reflecting broader investor expectations. These structures collectively provide a solid foundation for robust board oversight and, critically, aim to ensure that the board's decisions are aligned with the long-term interests of shareholders, especially when the company is facing significant operational and market pressures.
So to bring it all together for you, our listener, Molina Healthcare, a company with a truly proven track record of operational capabilities and a highly disciplined, specialized focus, finds itself caught in the midst of a severe industry-wide storm. This storm, as we've detailed, is driven by the perfect combination of rising medical costs stemming from a sicker patient population and a complex, constantly shifting regulatory flux that's creating a fundamental mismatch between revenue and expenses.
And as we've identified and underscored throughout this deep dive, the single most important catalyst that will determine Molina's immediate future, whether they fully recover or face a prolonged struggle, is the upcoming 2026 Medicaid rate setting cycle. That negotiation process with individual states is the pivotal factor that will determine whether Molina emerges stronger from this period of turmoil, demonstrating its ability to adapt and secure adequate compensation, or if it faces a more challenging and prolonged period of depressed profitability due to insufficient rate relief.
So, knowing all this, Molina's unique strength in its specialized niche, the immense pressures on the government healthcare system from every angle, and that absolutely critical rate setting cycle ahead, what does this tell us about the future of specialized healthcare providers in general? Will the market ultimately reward their deep focus and expertise, allowing them to navigate and even thrive in such a complex sector? Or is diversification across different healthcare segments truly the only long-term shield in a market as volatile, as regulated, and as politically exposed as government-sponsored healthcare? We encourage you to keep exploring how policy, economics, and human health continue to converge in the fascinating and ever-changing landscape of healthcare. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.